This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. We're turning our attention to the healthcare situation in Malaysia. So we know political landscape may be chaotic, but what remains certain is COVID-19, the pandemic, unfortunately marches on.
Yep, there was 19,740 new cases and 274 deaths recorded. Now, given that the Prime Minister and his cabinet have resigned, there may be questions about whether this vacuum could have an impact on pandemic management. There also remains a host of outstanding structural issues within our healthcare system that urgently need to be addressed by policymakers, but are inevitably delayed until the politicians sort things out. So what should be the healthcare priorities for the new incoming government?
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Azrul Khalid, CEO at the Galen Centre. Good morning, Azrul. Thank you for joining us again. Now, how does the current political situation affect the country's COVID-19 management? Do you have any concerns that services could be affected?
Good morning to both of you. Well, you're totally right. You know, COVID-19, the epidemic just doesn't care about the political situation that we're in and the mess that we're in. And it won't wait for us to settle before it infects more people. And in fact, one of the things that we are concerned about are basically two things. One is obviously the response to managing the epidemic itself, the number of cases, the number of hospitalizations, and then, of course, the number of deaths. The second one is, of course, the vaccine program, whether or not that will be affected. And certainly, our eyes are really on the key positions, which are obviously the Prime Minister, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Health, and the different ministries involved in vaccine procurement and distribution. So we are concerned that the services could be affected, but I have trust and confidence in our civil servants, our public health system, to be able to continue to do their jobs regardless of whoever is in the driver's seat in the political position as health minister or prime minister.
But Azrul, you know, as you said just now, COVID is blind to all the political machinations. Do you think the Minister of Health posts should be non-political then?
Well, you know, this is a very interesting question. It's been asked quite a bit whether or not we should have a professional, even someone from the healthcare sector, to be the health minister. But I thought about it, and I come to the realization that actually we do need a politician in there, simply because we need someone who is able to be accountable to the people, accountable to the people who elected him or her, and most importantly, is able to report back to Parliament in a way which isn't beholden to whoever she or he was the appointment for. So what we want to be able to see is somebody who is competent, able to do the job, and most importantly, instill trust and confidence of the people in being able to do that. So I think in this case, it's better to have a politician to be able to hold on to the position of health minister.
Now, interestingly, yesterday, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's farewell message, he spent a lot of time talking about the COVID-19 fight and vaccines. And he says that, you know, vaccines have been procured for every Malaysian to be vaccinated by October. Are you confident about this projection?
Well, it's one of the things that we will concern whether or not it will be affected, and that is the procurement of new vaccines. And the good thing is that the previous government had already put in their orders and did what was necessary in order to get those vaccines. However, we have always been skeptical about that projection of October being able to completely finish the exercise of vaccinating 100% of adults. And we are looking more towards December and even early 2022, because many of the countries that we've seen around the world have struggled to even reach 60-70% of the adult population. There's no reason for Malaysia to be excluded from that challenge. And we are expecting the number of people being vaccinated to plateau even as we approach the October-November months.
So what's in the entry of the new government now? You know, since actually the program is going forward and all that, what do you think are the first two, three things they should do immediately?
Well, where do you begin? Besides finding the pencils on the table, pens, you know?
And the paper.
And the paper, wherever a health minister or KG have hidden them. You know, Well, for one thing, it is to ensure that the remarkable vaccination rate that Malaysia has been able to achieve is able to be maintained. That is paramount. If you're talking about 500,000 people per day that we've been able to vaccinate and to be able to continue on, that is already going to be a remarkable success. The other that is in the entry is how do we deal with the number of people who are still in their thousands being hospitalized with serious disease? How do we ensure that fewer people are getting infected and falling seriously ill and dying? Those issues need to be addressed with proper stewardship. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to see the formation of advisory committees or councils with whichever government that comes in, which is able to advise the Ministry of Health on how to move forward on both COVID and non-COVID issues. So they need to be able to advise on this, because we can't afford to look at one thing at a time. There are other issues that are relating to health that are more than just COVID, and we need to also address those issues because they've been left on the back burner for too long. And we are going to pay the price for incidences of cancer, for example. More people are going to be detected late, presenting late for cancer. More people are being presented late for treatment for cancer and so forth. So we need to be able to have these entities to be set up by the new government.
And Astro, you know, talking about the vaccination program, I mean, JKJAV, they show that more than 100% of adults in Klang Valley have received their first dose. I mean, but what does this tell us about gaps in population data that the government has? And are there segments that we are not accounting for?
Well, for one thing, you know, they're referring to 100% of adults. So if we look at those above the age of 18, this is probably who they're referring to. And we're not referring to the adolescents, young people, children who are also part of that population. But also the fact that, you know, we look at data that's coming out from the Selangor state government, for example, concerning their own vaccination statistics. And it doesn't seem to jive with what JKJAV is indicating. And that implies that we have a gap in the population data, as you say, you know, and we don't have enough data on the hard-to-reach segments of people in the Klang Valley, perhaps living in some of the remote areas of Selangor. And we need to be able to reach out to the people who are in the migrant populations and the homeless, for whom I think we still haven't completed the vaccination exercise yet for them. So we need to continue on. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit skeptical. I always take it a pinch of salt, anybody who says 100%. You know, I'm a conservative by nature on that. And I know that there are always people who are being left behind and we need to be able to address. Because I know so many people who have yet to receive their first dose, you know, whether it's because of their hesitancy towards the vaccine or that they just haven't been called up yet. So, you know, it's still ongoing work and we shouldn't rest our laurels on that.
Just a quick one, Azrul. School reopening October, do you think we can get all our children vaccinated in time?
No way. You know, the problem right now is that people do not feel confident about sending their kids to school because we don't have assurance that all the teachers have been vaccinated, and that should be the bare minimum. And now that there is emphasis on vaccinating the children themselves because of the Delta variant, I don't think we even have started or even completed that conversation. So to expect the reopening schools by October where all the children be vaccinated, it's not going to happen. Mm. We're going to have to prioritize. We have to have a phased approach towards reopening the school if we insist on the children also being vaccinated. Mm. For myself, I would say that we should prioritize the teachers to be vaccinated, and we have to make sure 100% of them are vaccinated, allow the kids to go to school with all the usual SOPs, and to ensure that they no longer lose yet another week of schooling. Malaysia is one of the worst in the world when it comes to the loss of schooling by kids who have been infected by COVID-19. I think it's like 36 weeks now.
Huh, sadly, that's true. Okay, thank you for your time. That was Azrul Khalid, CEO of Galen Cent. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.